Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
Doug, we appreciate the time as always. How are you doing today?
Oh, yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Now we go.
There we go.
How are you doing? He said he's doing
Take
well.
Two.
Same answer. I'm fine, thank you.
I'm going to ask you a simple question, and you can take it in any direction. Would you consider this season a success for the Blues from your perspective?
I would consider it a success in some ways, and obviously a failure because we didn't make the playoffs. And it was successful because we saw growth in players we wanted to see growth in. And it's also successful because we got answers to questions we wanted answered, some positive, some negative.
Sure.
But you have to gain answers to move ahead. And so I thought our it's such a hard question. It's a great question because I can answer it. I feel both ways about it. Like, so excited about how we played against the good teams. So excited when we were laser focused and understanding that embarrassment was just a puck drop away, we answered the bell. And then disappointed that we didn't perform well against teams that psychologically and arrogantly we thought we were better than, and we didn't. So you get the positive, you get the negative. You see good growth in younger players. So it's a mixed bag. I wish I could say check one box, sure, that's successful or failure. To me, it was a mixed bag.
Well, you fit right in with us, Doug. We always ride the fence on every take that we have with this. The one thing is, you know, as you would expect, retool, rebuild is discussed amongst fans. And I had a conversation with Doug Waite last week, and Waite explained to me, like, you don't understand, a rebuild is something that you're grooming young players that don't know what it takes to win. That takes a long time. He said retools go fast, and he said it doesn't feel like they do because you hate losing, but retools go fast. Is that where your mindset is?
Yeah, well, I heard your conversation or heard you talking about your talk with Dougie, and I agree with him. And it's one thing putting young players in a position that they can learn. You first got to get those young players.
Right.
And that means, and I was talking to guys earlier today, like, if we wanted to do a rebuild, a total rebuild, you'd have to take 15 to 20 losses off of this team and do it for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's 50 to 60 points. And I did say tongue-in-cheek, if you want to get there, I'm your guy. I can figure out a way to get to that.
I could do it.
And but doesn't guarantee anything either. That's the tough part, is, like, you see teams around the league. Yes, you lose those games, and then you potentially get the players, but there's no guarantee those guys become what you're hoping for either. That's the scary part about the rebuild.
Yeah, well, and I do believe, like, the easiest thing is to commit the time and get the assets, and then you have to build a team off of that, and that's where the change happens. It's the elite manager that can take it to the bottom, knows exactly who to draft all those guys, and then still be alive and around to turn them into different players. And like, when I got to St. Louis, I had never been part of anything like that. My years in Dallas, we were always competitive, competitive, competitive. And then when I got to St. Louis, they had made that commitment before I got here. So they had the first overall pick, and my job at that point wasn't to gain more top picks. It was to build a team. And so whether people like or dislike the decisions, we moved players to build, we moved the pieces around that we had drafted to build a team, and a team that we thought could have success. And so, but to answer, to talk to your part of the question, like, you can't do a rebuild in a year. That's why I said it's 4 or 5 years, because you have to have 4 or 5 cracks at getting the right,
sure,
player.
Yeah.
Like, there's a saying, like, if you're only gonna do it once, like, you have to pick a great year to have a bad year, because some years it's Sidney Crosby and some years it's not. and you can't control the skill level of the draft year. And some years it's a great draft. And if you're just there once, you might be able to get a Connor McDavid. But there are drafts when you look back, and let's say it's not one, but it's 1 through 5. Like, you can get to pick 3 a lot of years and get a very average player from 3 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get some years, pick 6, 7, and 8 are great players. So that's why I think you got to, if you're going to commit to it, quite honestly, got to commit like some teams did and just go right to the bottom for the better part of 4 or 5 years.
We're talking to Doug Armstrong here on 101 ESPN. I am curious, as you look towards the offseason, and we talked with, I think you talked with Tom Stillman, and he said you're committed to this plan and you've shown ownership kind of what the core group of players should look like as you continue to get into your winning window. As you go into this offseason and you think about the balance of trying to provide opportunities for young players, but also not expecting them to take that job right away, how does that influence your decisions, whether it's via free agency or trades, to make sure you have a roster in place that could win or at least compete if those young players don't take the next step versus giving those opportunities to the young players? How do you balance that in an offseason?
Well, I'll use an example this year of one of my favorite players, Blues of all time, Robert Bertuzzo. We thought that Matt Kessel was going to take his job at some point, but we wanted Matt Kessel to go down and he played the first half of the season down there. Yep. Robert went on, Kessel came up. So there has to be growth. So that's how you do it. You protect yourself. So if you took Dvorsky, let's say our 10th pick last year, to project him on our team would be a disservice to him. Give him the opportunity to make the team for sure. But now, like with Bolduc and Kessel and Dean, we've seen enough now I can envision them making our team. But if they don't do it, we still have to have competent players. And so it's finding that balance, and it's not as easy as it sometimes can be. But if a young player takes a veteran player's job, it's my job then to find a home for the veteran player.
When we talked earlier this season, Doug, you had discussed, you know, the season that Robert Thomas is having, the season that Colton Parayko is having, the season that Jordan Binnington's having. You said it's my job to bring in the pieces that get those guys to winning because of how they're performing. Now, 82 games wrapped up and you saw what Binnington and Parayko and Thomas did. Do you view the team a little bit differently than maybe you did at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, well, because I saw growth in Jake Neighbors. I think when we started the year, Jake Neighbors was a fourth-line player getting 8 to 11, 12 minutes. And quite honestly, that's what he'd earned, you know. And then all of a sudden, he gets his foundation. Now, he spent half the year in the minors a year ago. He comes up. He's a bit player. And to his credit, the door opened and he kicked it down to 27 goals. So he's another. So he now I put Jake Neighbors in with those guys. You know what I wanted to keep doing is I put Kessel. Not that he's a star, but I put him in with that group that you can continue to grow with.
Sure.
And I just want to keep adding to that group that you can continue to grow with. And now the next step is getting Bolduc and Dean into that group a little quicker, and then getting some of these Tucker into that group a little bit quicker, and making sure that the veteran players that we have here, that like Saad had a good year. I thought Letty had an excellent year. You know, Schenner's our captain. You got Falk had a great year last year, not quite as good a year this year. He had a lot of injuries to deal with. Like, you need a lot of things to go well, and then you need those guys to believe in what they're doing. And it's not for everybody, and that's why I got to make sure that, like, this is what we're doing, and it's only going to benefit the team if you agree with it, but it's only going to benefit you if you agree with it, because if not, you're a good enough player, I can find you a home. But we'd like it to be here, but only if we can find out how we're going to judge right from wrong and success from failure.
We're talking to Blues President of Hockey Operations, Doug Armstrong, here on BK and Ferrario. I did want to ask you about the number two center position. You guys had Pavel Buchnevich playing there at the end of the year. Is that what you view as his future home, or was that more of a placeholder situation and you're hoping to have somebody that might be more of a long-term answer there going into next season?
I think that either could happen. And that's the hard part. So if you go out and sign a number two center, and we might do it. So I'm not saying we're not going to do it, because I hate to do this and then we do it. So this guy's a liar.
People always have receipts on this, don't they,
yes,
Doug?
Yeah. But it's not about what's going to happen next year. It's like, how long do you stunt Dvorsky's growth? Because that has to be him. Like, if we're drafting the top 10 and he's not in that area. So if you go out and sign a guy at 27 or 28 to a 7-year deal, then all of a sudden Dvorsky's going to have to – someone's going to the wing at some point because
right.
you don't want these good players. And that's what we found out Bucci can do. And that's what I think a lot of centermen like Dvorsky's age, they start on the wing and move into the middle. So I'm talking – because just in case we do it, I'd like to do it. But just, you know, that there's a plan that it's not like, oh – They signed a centerman and now Dvorsky's never going to play here. They got to trade him. That's not going to happen. But it's just every decision has a longer term effect than the next year. And we just want to make sure that we're continuing to build moving forward. But the number two center part this year was a thing that seemed to be in flux right from day one.
On defense, Doug, we always talk about trends in the league. And at the end of the season, when the playoffs are done, everybody's always talking about how do we copycat the team that just won the Stanley Cup. Last year, it was size on defense. They had big players for Vegas, and we were talking about how you need size on D. Do you feel like that's still necessary in the NHL, or is the trend kind of in the middle with NHL defensemen?
I think it's in the middle to smaller defensemen in the regular season. We'll find out how it is. Let's have this in June. But you get into seven-game series and you circle certain names and you can lean on them and you can grind them down. You know, whether it's a big defenseman or a big forward, they're just harder. They're harder to play against.
Yeah.
But some of the most electric and exciting offensive defensemen in our league right now are smaller. Now, and they're in the playoffs, most of them, if not all of them. We're going to see how they do in seven-game series. And Makar's not a big guy. It doesn't seem to affect him. You know, we're going to see how it affects. I don't want to name names, but
right.
I think we all know there's some really gifted offensive players that are smaller that have to play in seven-game series, and we're going to see how is their offense going to outweigh not their desire to defend, just their physical ability to defend.
We are going to see the cap go up a little bit more this year than we have in previous seasons. How do you think that will influence, not just for you guys, but for around the league, how do you think that will influence some of the offseason decisions that are going to be made this year compared to the past two, three, 4 years?
It's certainly going to open the valve up to spend more money. There's more money in the system. But if you look at, and I'm as guilty as the next manager, I'm not throwing anybody on the bus, but it doesn't take us long to spend it. Like you look at some of the long-term extensions that guys, it's a going up $4 million. How many players that we know have got $4 million raises?
Yep.
Like quite
yeah.
a few.
Yep.
So whatever it's going up, they've taken. So that their cap is basically flat. And so I think there's a belief that that there's going to be money flying all around. A lot of that's taken internally. And a lot of guys that have bit their lip and taken their kidney blows as the cap stayed flat are going to want to get paid. And I guess my point is the new money is going to go to a very small amount of people.
Doug Armstrong, we appreciate the time as always. We appreciate your candor and your honesty.
Yes.
I know the fans, I can tell you this from our personal experience, looking at the text line, hearing from all the calls. They appreciate the honesty about where you guys are in your build right now. So thanks for hopping on with us today. We wish you the best of luck this offseason. We'll talk with you again soon.
Always enjoy coming on, guys. Thank you for your support all year, too.
Thanks, Doug.